Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Today's subject, we have been studying the book of Revelation. We're now in chapter 21. We have just two chapters to go, Revelation 21 and 22. We're going to talk about the new earth today. And I have a very encouraging word, I believe, from God for you about brighter days ahead. Let's start off with a little bit of worship, some live worship, and we'll get into the message if you want to follow along. We'll be talking about Revelation 21. This is one of my favorite worship songs that I love to do, which is called You Are My Hiding Place. It's from the Psalms. It's in Psalm 32 and Psalm 91, I believe, also. The hiding place concept is the concept in the Hebrew of the stronghold. The stronghold is represented, this idea of the hiding place or the stronghold, both in a positive and a negative way. In the Bible, in the negative way, in Corinthians, it says to tear down mental strongholds. These are lies about God or ourselves that can hurt us and be irrational thinking that we have to refute with the truth about how God is good and loving and how we are children of God and we are in Christ. So there's that negative stronghold. But the way to refute a lot of the negative that we're hearing today in the world and in the media and in negative people is that we look to God to be our stronghold and our hiding place. So close your eyes if you want. Just listen to this beautiful live worship, and we'll be right back to study Revelation chapter 21. You are my hiding place. Yes, Heavenly Father, you do tell us when we are weak that we can trust in you when we feel weak. And a lot of us have felt weak. We pray for those that have felt physically weak from being affected by the coronavirus, those that are sick or isolated, emotionally weak, sad, fearful, depressed. We speak healing and peace to them today. And thank you for hearing our prayer, and thank you for this message you gave me today about a new earth and better days ahead. We'll be right back in 30 seconds with the message, Revelation 21, a new earth, better days ahead. Brighter days are ahead, so don't go anywhere. Oscar for that film, True Grit. And, you know, we have to, when we know the Lord, have the grit or the courage to speak the truth, even if it's not popular, even if it's different from what everyone else is saying. And I'd like to teach on Revelation today and say some things that will probably be quite different from what you have heard. But I'm going to hopefully prayerfully open your eyes and heart to show something different if you are willing to see it, if you're open to see it, and I pray you will be. The Holy Spirit has to show you things, though. It says that no one can come to the Lord unless the Lord draws them. And throughout the book of Revelation, the Apostle John uses a phrase, I was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day to see certain things. And we've been taught in the popular books of the day to see the book of Revelation in a certain way. And the way it's been taught has caused people to be quite fearful. And the people that have been taught to see it a certain way are worried about the end of the world right now and doom and gloom and doomsday. So as I look into Revelation, I'm going to show you a different way of looking at it that's more optimistic instead of fatalistic. And I hope that you'll at least consider this other way of looking at it. And it's challenging if you've been taught a certain way for many, many years, as I have been, to see things differently. But as we grow in the Lord, we have to keep seeking new information. We have to keep, you know, the Bible is so powerful. It's living. The lead singer for the music group U2, Bono, was asked once, what's your favorite part of the Bible? And he said, well, you know, the Bible's a living document. It's always changing. I'm always seeing new things. And so we look in the new earth in a new way today. Let me read Revelation, starting 21, chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, the word here for new is not, as it's been taught, that our world ends, there's the end of the world, and then he makes a whole brand new earth, but it's a word for renovated or rejuvenated. The same word or expression is used in 2 Peter 3, verse 13, that says that after Noah and his family stepped out of the ark after the flood, they stepped into a new earth wherein dwelled righteousness. And the idea was that after they'd been through some things, Noah and his family after the flood were having to kind of recreate the earth based on the growth and the experiences they went through to bring about the kingdom of God and righteousness in the earth. And it says in Revelation 19:8 that you are clothed in righteousness as a follower of him. And so what I'm going to challenge you to think about is instead of waiting for the world to end and being doom and gloom about what's going on, because the world is not going to end, according to the Bible. Isaiah 46:17 uses a phrase that's used throughout the Bible, which is the phrase, world without end. Isaiah uses that phrase repeatedly, as does other scriptures. World without end. There's a prayer of the early church. Some of you may remember this prayer called the Glory Be Prayer. which says, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever, world without end." There's that phrase again, world without end. So Noah stepped into a new earth. The same idea is used in the Old Testament. Now, the mistake that people make that are putting out all the gloom and the fear and the conspiracy theories is that they try to take people in the news and shove these modern personalities into the book of Revelation out of context when it's not talking about them. I have friends that say the Trump of God referred to is Donald Trump, for instance, when it says the Trump of God shall sound and we will be cut up in the clouds. And, of course, that's not Donald Trump. Or I had a couple years ago, I had friends of mine saying that Obama was the Antichrist and he was going to set up martial law and take our guns and give us the mark of the beast. I said, that's not going to happen. He is not the Antichrist. But people fall for these scenarios again and again and again because they miss the point of Revelation. The very first book of the very first chapter of the book of Revelation tells us the interpretive key, which is critically important. Do you know the first words of the book of Revelation? In John's writing style, he always tells you, like a good writer in the beginning, what it's about. It says in the very first verse, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto John to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Now it says shortly come to pass because a lot of these things were coming to pass then. The Christians were being fed to the lions. Nero, the Roman emperor, was called the beast. His number of his name was 666. So many of these things shortly came to pass. And it says, it goes on to say, he sent and signified by his angel to his servant John. So it says here, now stay with me, that this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you choose to look at it the way the popular false prophecy teachers are teaching, they make it about the Antichrist instead of Jesus Christ. And they're always looking for who is the Antichrist. When I was a new Christian, I heard so many different theories. Ronald Reagan, they said Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist because his name had three names, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Ronald Wilson Reagan, each of those three names has six letters. And another time they said it was Gorbachev around that same era, because Gorbachev, I don't know if you remember, had a mark on his forehead, and they said that was the mark of the beast. And I've heard all kind of theories, Henry Kissinger, and I mean, I guess this dates me how old I am that these are some of the theories I remember. But more recently, there's people putting out on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter that Bill Gates, the computer guru, is the Antichrist. And they're saying all kind of scary things that the any medication or vaccine for the virus that will come out will be the mark of the beast, and they're going to cart us away as the Nazis did to death camps. And if you take the vaccine or any medication from your doctor for the virus, that you'll be branded 666 and lose your soul. And all kind of things are being put out there like this. Why? Sensationalism sells. Sensationalism and scaring people sells. I mean, many of us do enjoy a good horror movie. So, and we've been through a horrific season and a trauma with everything going on, and so we're vulnerable. But you're particularly vulnerable if, like me, you've been taught a false view of Revelation that is all about fear and Antichrist and 666. Instead of the point of the book, when John writes to these churches in chapter 2 and 3, John tells you who he's writing to. Who's he writing to? He tells you, I'm writing to these seven churches that are going through these things, Ephesus, Smyrna, Laodicea, etc., to let them know that when we go through tough times in the world, it can be a time for a shift. It can be a time of learning. It can be a time of growth and grace. It can be a time of a deeper revelation of Jesus Christ. Because the word where it says that it's a revelation of Jesus Christ in the Greek is the word apocalypto. We get the word apocalypse. The word apocalypse wasn't meant to be end of the world. When we hear apocalypse now, of course, yeah, people say that means the end of the world. But the actual biblical meaning at the time was from the art world, where when you have a beautiful work of art and you maybe saw it at a distance or you saw a little bit of it being made and the artist covers it up in a cloth and you haven't seen the full glory. You haven't really known that work of art in all its beauty. And the artist takes that cloth off and says, voila, there's my great sculpture. There's my great painting. There's my great song. There's my film. It's a revealing of the most beautiful person, Jesus Christ. and that this is a time not to be scared. This is a time not to give into that dark demonic fear that people are peddling online and in certain media circles. This is a time for you to go into what is beautiful, time with who you love. Families and friends are spending time together. They're getting to know each other. They're getting to know God. And John is saying, let this be a time of revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, as we read on, we're in Revelation 21. He talks about the new heaven and the new earth, and he talks about the new Jerusalem in verses 2 and 9 through 10. And he talks about seeing a bride. The city represents the bride of Christ. And he uses the example of another woman in the previous chapters, the great harlot, which is like more of the worldly contrast to that. You know, a whore sells out the body for money. A harlot sells herself for money. And he says that there would be those in religion that would try to sell and merchandise the gifts of the Spirit and merchandise religion. We see this all the time. Televangelists. Benny Hinn in the LA Times quoted him at one of his recent rallies where he said, if you make a $1,000 vow, you will get your healing. How manipulative. How manipulative to sell out the body of Christ for money that blatantly. There's a church in California, up in Northern California. They pulled this stunt. Some of the people involved confessed what they did. They put gold glitter from a craft store in their HVAC system and said it was the Shekinah glory and the glory cloud, and it swirled around, you know, and they told them it was from the streets of gold. In fact, in my upcoming film, Canaan Land, I play a con man preacher, Brother Billy, that calls down that gold dust. And people fell for it, and now they pay $3,000 to go to that church in their miracle school to, quote-unquote, learn how to do miracles. Now, any Bible student that's read the book of Acts knows you shouldn't charge for the gifts of the Spirit or to learn how to do miracles. There was a sorcerer named Simon that offered the apostles money to learn how to do miracles and healings, and they said, your money perish with you, that you would even think that you can sell the gifts of the Spirit like that. So in Revelation, it says the true bride of Jesus Christ is having that deeper revelation of who he is. But watch out in religion for those who are selling the body like a whore. And I get in trouble. Every time I preach this, I get people mad at me. But I have to preach the truth. The Holy Spirit has to show you these things. The true bride, the true church, will become more revealed, as will Jesus Christ become more revealed, in this time when the new earth. Now, there are people out there saying, I see people asking these questions in the news and on media, and saying, the churches are closed. How terrible. Our mega church can't meet. How terrible. But can the true church really be closed? I'm going to maybe step on some toes here when it talks here about the great whore versus the true bride. The whore is all about money and selling the body for money. Those mega church pastors that are moaning and groaning, they're not getting their money if they don't get all those thousands of people together putting their money in the plate. That's why they're so worried. Because anyone that knows the New Testament knows the true church is the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem described here in Revelation 21. That church is not a building. Christ said, wherever two or three gather, I'm in your midst. And we can fellowship. We're fellowshipping right now. We have people listening all over the world. Now, granted, it's better I miss face-to-face gatherings, but Hebrews 10:25 describes fellowship. It says, true fellowship, do not forsake fellowship, for it will stimulate and encourage one another unto good works. So we can do that on a phone call. We can do that over coffee with a few of us. We can do that in a park. You can do that in a school. And you have a choice today. With all the information and all the sermons, and people are selling end times videos right now and making a big profit on these scary things they're putting out there. But you have a choice right now to choose between fear and faith. And I know we've all felt fear. We've all felt sad. We've all felt frustrated at being sequestered and the things that we've went through. But the way that we view the Bible, theology is very important. Theology is the study of God in the Bible. The way you view theology affects the way you'll view everything going on right now. And if you buy into the doom and gloom theology of Revelation, you are going to be very vulnerable to people scaring you. And so I'm going to give a little bit of a contrast between fear and faith. Fear is leads us to escapism. You know, I have some Christian friends that'll say, oh, I just can't stand it. Oh, it's so terrible in the world right now and everything going on. And I'll say, yeah, I hear you. I know it's tough. I just want to get raptured out of here. Beam me up, Scotty, like Star Trek, right? Just rapture me out of here. Because, you know, we were taught that the rapture is we're going to fly up naked in the air and leave a pile of clothes behind and just get the heck out of here. And then we're going to have a big feast in heaven while God smites the earth with plagues for 7 years, all the bad people. Which I always thought to myself, well, it'd be hard for me to enjoy that feast knowing some of my friends are getting hit with all those plagues down there. But that's kind of an escapism, a fatalism. Let's just get out, right? But a view of the new earth as it's taught here, which is that the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, the followers of Christ, expand the kingdom of God and grow in the revelation of Jesus Christ and share his love and healing power, and they bring renewal to the earth by making a difference. You know, God's given you talents and gifts, and when you take the talents God's given you and make something out of that, you're a part of making a difference in this earth. So, yeah, I know we want to escape. I feel you. I hear you. I feel that way, too, sometimes. But are we going to go by fear and that old misinterpretation of Revelation that it's the end of the world? Are we going to go by faith and say, this too shall pass? And how can we shine our lights and minister to others? You know, I remember when our children were little, and again, I'm not putting anybody down that homeschools, but a lot of my Christian friends were homeschooling because they were so afraid of the world. They were so afraid of their kids going to a public school. And we need lights in the public school. You know, thank God for some of our supporters of this ministry that have been great public school teachers like Kelly Tabor and Steve Sobek and many others that have taught classes in the public schools. And we had to make a decision, are we going to be so afraid of the world that we keep kids out, or are we going to trust God to protect them? And, you know, Karis, our daughter who just got married this week, and Josh, they are so strong in their faith and their critical thinking and shining their lights because they learned how to be in the world, not of the world, but in the world. And there's many choices in life where the Christian culture or subculture, rather, will be pressuring you to be so afraid and gloom and doom that you just want to hide away. But this word for new earth is that this bride of Christ, this new Jerusalem, which is you and me and all that love the Lord, that we can renew this earth. You know, the people giving into fear, they're giving into conspiracy theories right now. And they're talking about Bill Gates and 666 and the vaccine and all this stuff. You know, there is one conspiracy theory that is biblical, and it's Romans 8:28. The word there is like a good conspiracy. God is conspiring in a good way. The word con means with, and spiracy comes from the word spirit. God with his spirit is conspiring to work everything for good, to bring good out of all this. Well, what kind of good? Well, I have a word from, I believe God inspired me to write a poem that I'm going to share with you at the end of this message that I believe will share with you some of that good. So you have a choice today. Escapism, fatalism, or optimism? Now, by the way, Romans 8:28 is not just a conspiracy theory. It's a real fact because God is not a man that he should lie. And he said that he's working. I know it's hard, and I know it seems like maybe God doesn't know what he's doing and he's incompetent when we see everything going on in the world. But we do know that this will pass and good's going to come out of it, that Romans 8:28 is something we can count on. Because the greatest saints of God shine during the tough times that we go through. Martin Luther King Jr. and the recently deceased Congressman John Lewis, their light shone because they faced the racism with Christ's light. Mother Teresa with the injustice and the starving in India, she was such a witness. And this is a time when we can be such a witness. You look even in terrible times, much worse than now, Hitler and things that went on with Nazi Germany and the people like the pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Anne Frank and some of these people who just shone their light and their spirit during those times. And even the people John is writing to in the book of Revelation, some of them were martyred by cruelty. The beast Nero, the emperor at that time, was so cruel to them. And yet, even when these Christians were being burned at the stake or fed to the lions, they shone with the love of Jesus Christ. So do you want to go with this old interpretation of Revelation and live in gloom and doom and fear? Or do you want to consider what I'm presenting to you, that this word for new earth is a renewed earth after we go through a tough time in which the believers share their light? The old view looks at it, oh, no, the churches are closed. The biblical view is the church can't be closed. We are the church. The old fear view is fearful of doctors and 666. The new earth biblical view is, hey, thank you, God, for the gifts of medical science, and thank you that this will pass soon, and thank you, a cure is on the way. You know, there's a lot of bias in media. We all know that. We all know that a lot of media is on one side or the other. But, you know, I read and listen to all sides, and I try to be like Walter Cronkite and try to get to the truth by listening to both and all sides. And I heard something that everybody said, and that's pretty true. You can take it to the bank. I heard the president say this, that they've ordered a bunch of the medicine cures from Oxford, England. I heard it on Fox News, watching Fox News, which tends to be the right-wing side, the conservative side. I heard it on CNN on the other side and MSNBC. I heard it on the mainstream news on NBC. They were all saying that there's doctors in Oxford, England, that are getting very close to a cure, and that it'll be available probably for some of the worst cases by the end of the year, and for other people beginning next year. So there's a lot of hopeful information out there. But if you're only listening to the doom and gloom, doomsday people, you know, I've been around as a born-again Christian since the late 70s, and I've heard so many doomsday dates come and go. The first one I remember was the book that came out, 88 Reasons Why the World Will End in 1988. It was by a Baptist preacher named Edgar Weissmann, and he was convinced that it was 88. And the reason he calculated that was he said that the fig tree blossoming in Matthew 24 was Israel becoming a nation in 1948, and that generation is 40 years, so that's how he came up with it. And, of course, it wasn't the end of the world in 1988, and so he wrote a book the next year, 89 Reasons Why It Will Come in 89. And my grandpa said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So not too many people bought the book in 1989. But then another one that sticks out in my mind is 2000. A lot of my friends were panicking about Y2K and the computers were going to crash. And I had friends telling me, you better leave Los Angeles. It's going to be terrible. The Antichrist will have one of his biggest strongholds there. And just come back and live with us in the woods. And we're stockpiling guns and going to live in a cabin and fight off the Antichrist. I mean, they were really getting nutty. TBN, the Christian station, was doing round-the-clock Y2K updates and where to get your powdered food to survive and all this stuff. So I've seen this stuff come and go, and I've seen the people that don't understand the book of Revelation looking for the Antichrist in the end. But John said in Revelation 1:1 that when these things are going on, the thing to focus on is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:1, this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. So my eyes are on Jesus Christ. And Isaiah says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I believe that's Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. The fear view, end of the world view, is doomsday, end of the world. The biblical view is that this Isaiah, as I quoted to you earlier, that scripture, Isaiah 46, verse 17, is no, the world will be without end, and this too shall pass, and the earth shall be renewed after this difficult phase that we have been going through from the lessons that we've learned. The old fear view is escapism, just rapture me out of here, fatalism, this is the end. The new earth biblical view is let's share and show Jesus Christ to the world. Yes, it's difficult, but let's be there for each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's share our feelings and pray one for another, and not forsake our assembling together. Maybe we can't go to some big mega church with all their light shows and their dry ice and all that nonsense, but we can certainly be in touch with those we love and encouraging one another in the Lord. The old view is that the new view is faith, that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but the old view is no, that's a runaway train coming to kill us, that light. You know, there's always a negativity. You know, there's a lot of stuff getting shared on Facebook and social media. Please learn to discern, not to click on all that stuff. And, you know, the way you'll usually have certain friends that share the bad stuff over and over and over and over again that fall for it. So, you know, like I know certain people, that's all they do. They don't have a real conversation. They just want to send me all these end-of-the-world videos. And so, you know, I'm not going to click on their thing. I mean, I could waste my whole day watching their nonsense. But, you know, the Bible says to fill our minds with those things that are pure and lovely and edifying, right? Now, So we read in Revelation 21 this beautiful description of things, that God wipes away the tears from our eyes. Let me read to you. I'll start with verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, I am Alpha and Omega, it is done. I am the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, this is God's plan. That in the mind of God, you see, God had his plan before the world began. It said he chose you in love, Ephesians 1, before the world even began. Now, I make films, and I have to see the film in my mind, and I write the screenplay before we shoot, and I can see it. Sometimes I'll even see actors in certain parts. Like there's a woman who plays my girlfriend in the beginning of Canaanland, Connie, a really lovely person, Donna Lee Heising. And I saw her in my mind, even though I'd never met her or seen her. And so when I saw her in another film, I was like, oh, that's the person I saw. So in other words, before we shoot the film, before the film becomes a reality, I had to have that screenplay and that vision in my mind. So when we read in Revelation, a time of no more tears and pain, this is what God had in mind, is that we would be reconciled to him. And so we have to see as God sees. Now, do we have to wait? No. Yes, we have to wait for the full actualization of it in heaven. But we don't have to wait to be a part of this and connected to this, because God can wipe away the tears from my eyes and your eyes now when we're sad. And God says that he is the resurrection and the life, and the one that dies that believes in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So this conquering of death and sorrow, it's already here with us in embryonic form, the same way my screenplay's in my mind before the film is completed. So we're in a time right now of the already and the not yet, as some theologians call it, the already and the not yet. And what that means is we already know the Lord, and we can have him wipe away the tears from our eyes and heal our pain and give us victory over death, where we can say, Death, where is thy sting? However, there still is a battle we're going through. There still are struggles right now we're going through, and it hasn't been an easy time. And it's kind of like in World War II. There was V-Day and there was D-Day. There was a D-Day where they knew Hitler was defeated and the Allied forces were going to win the war, and we are going to win against the Nazis. However, before V-Day, when the war was completely over, there was still some fighting going on. And that's the position we're in, is the new earth, the new Jerusalem. We are that bride. We do know these realities. But does everyone we get pray for get healed where there's no more sickness or pain? No. Are we going through some challenging things? Yes. But we can look to the Lord who says, I make old things pass away and all things new. And it says that when you receive Christ in Ephesians 1:13, you receive earnest of your inheritance. And the word earnest, we get the term earnest money. If you've ever bought a house and you put down earnest money, that's a little bit of money you put down that says, I'm going to pay you the rest. And so we have the Holy Spirit as our earnest. We have the Lord's presence as our earnest. In other words, we have a little bit of this new heaven and earth now that we know and we can tap into, where he wipes away our tears. Have we had complete V-Day victory over everything? Already, but not yet. We've experienced some of it already, but it hasn't yet fully been actualized. Does that make sense? I hope it does. We do know some realities of healing. But as Paul said, if I depart, it's far better. But I want to live, it's better for your sakes that I stay. But to be with Christ, I'll know far more of his glory. But in embryo form, we know this. We know the kingdom of God. And when someone dies, we sorrow. I felt sorrow thinking of my brother who, it was his birthday, August 4th, the same day our daughter Karis got married. He would have been 51. And I feel sorrow, but I don't sorrow without any hope. Because in Jesus we have hope. And even Jesus had sorrow on this earth. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. You know it, right? Jesus wept, and it was when his friend Lazarus died. So we do have sorrow, and we have been going through some things, but the Lord wipes away the tears from our eyes. Isn't it sad, though, that some of my Christian friends, quite frankly, have been the most fearful and the most vulnerable to a lot of the COVID conspiracy lies, instead of putting their focus on Philippians 4:7 that says, whatsoever things are good and pure, think on those things. Well, I want to sum up everything I've just taught about in a poem that I believe I felt quite inspired to write this poem. And I know inspired might sound like a lofty term, but I'd like to read you the poem that I wrote for you. And I hope it encapsulizes and encourages you in everything that we've been talking about. And my poem is called A New Earth. A New Earth. A new earth came about after COVID for the truly spiritual who know God. Some stayed at home reading Bibles and books that nurtured their souls. And as they were renewed, they made the earth new. They exercised and rested and nested. They no longer wrestle, they nestle in God's peaceful, everlasting arms, being still and knowing that He is God working all things together for their good. They spent more time with family and friends, so a new earth begins. They had time with the ones they love, not working furiously in the push and the shove. They laughed and loved, made art from above, meals, movies, books, and stories of great glories. They learned new ways of seeing and new ways of being. God taught them new things as they were sequestered, and the earth was made new. Old things passed away, and all things were made new as they meditated, contemplated. Some were fooled by dark demonic shadows of religious fear, false conspiracy theories that made people weary. But those who knew the shepherd's voice rejected this dark choice of fear that tried to make them distrust doctors, distrust God, and even distrust themselves. But those who heard the good shepherd's voice realized churches aren't really closed. They can't be, you see, for the church is you and me, wherever there are two or three. As they thought differently, they were healed, revealed, ready to help birth a new earth. The earth began to heal and reveal the revelation of Jesus and His salvation. They grieved those who passed and healed the earth at last by turning from fear to perfect love, who is always there and casts out all fear. And they made the new earth finally appear. Amen. A little more live worship music. Sing You Are My Hiding Place one more time with us. Then you're invited to call the number on your screen to call in or send your comments on my Facebook or to richardrossilive@gmail.com. Feel the Holy Spirit's presence now as we worship. Maybe close your eyes and sing along or just let the words minister to you. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of my God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you that you are our hiding place, Lord. You are our hiding place, God. You are our stronghold. You give us peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, comfort those that are afraid. I pray, like as Isaac prospered in the famine, Lord, that you would prosper those that are listening today. As Joseph in the pestilence and the famine rose to power and was able to feed his brothers, bless those that are listening that they may prosper in the pestilence and in the time of difficulty. Thank you, Lord. glorify your name, Lord. Revelation says the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ. Don't give in to the doom and gloom. Let's shine our lights. We're going to come through this. It too shall pass, and there shall be a new earth. Richard Rossi live. I hope you were encouraged by my poem about brighter days. And we have some folks starting to call in. You may join them in calling in at our studio line. It's a New York number, 347-637-2379. Or send your messages to my Facebook, Richard Rossi, facebook.com/RichardRossiActor, or my Gmail, richardrossilive@gmail.com. Wow, one of my assistant pastors in our ministry back east I haven't heard from for a while, writing in about our poem, Andre, one of my dearest friends in the world, Andre DiStefano. He calls me General. You know, it's a little inside joke that we're generals in God's army. He says, very nice poem, General. Thank you, Andre. I love you. Rebecca Holden, star of our film Canaan Land, just sent a beautiful message in. Richard, this poem is simply beautiful. What an inspiring poem for this time. It is so needed. Richard, it was great seeing you the other day. And for those of you listening, that was Rebecca and I had an interview about Canaan Land. What a fun time we all had. Let me know if you need me for any more shooting or anything at all. Thank you again, Richard, for this glorious poem. Oh, thank you, Rebecca, and thank you for being such a powerful, powerful actress in our upcoming film. Linda Wahus writes in. Linda is the mother of Pamela Smart. Some of you may have heard that case back in the news in the 90s. Pamela's incarcerated right now. It was a big case in the news, the Pamela Smart case. And I've done some radio shows about Pamela. And Pamela, we encourage Pamela and have been sending her things to help her. She's finished her Bible degree while in prison and recently got ordained, and she's ministering to the women in prison where she is. So Pamela's mother, Linda, wrote a lovely poem, and so true, Richard. Thank you for sharing this poem. Isn't that beautiful? Pamela's smart mother, touched by the poem today, sending in. My doctor, Dr. Ross, wrote in, great inspiration. Thanks for sharing this poem. Isn't that something? Dr. Ross helps me keep my head screwed on straight. He's my therapist, although I probably shouldn't out him as such. That's a personal relationship, but I mentioned him because he wrote in how much he loved the poem. Messages coming in on Facebook. Danielle and Kelly both wrote in that they love the song, the worship songs that we did in the show, Hiding Place. Kelly and Danielle both like that song. Kelly says, I also like this one, Glorify Thy Name. And Jane in Indiana writes, this poem is absolutely inspired and inspirational, dear friend. Thank you, Jane. Coming from a writer like you, that means a lot. Jane did a lot of the writing for one of the big ministries, Charles Colson's ministry. She was the right-hand person and writer for many years doing work for Charles Colson, ministering in the prisons. Pamela in Rockland, California, Northern California, likes the poem, says, well done. Another message here, Southeast. Kelly says, she appreciates the Revelation 21 message. Thank you for your faithfulness and heart to reveal the authenticity of Scripture, Richard. I appreciate your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and willingness to share your interpretation of the Scriptures. You often see things differently than the status quo. I welcome your insights and grateful for your strength and courage to share your interpretations. I'm fond of and respect your wisdom, heart, and passion to convey the truth. Rarity at its finest, the bomb diggity. God bless you and your family. Well, God bless you too, Kelly. You are the bomb diggity too. because we are dynamite bombs. The Holy Spirit says that we are dunamis power. It says the Holy Spirit gives us dunamis power. So you're explosive when you share your light and give the gifts God's given you that impact people for days as well. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Steph Close also writing in just now. She's writing in from down south, like Orange County area, I believe, of California. Good poem, and it makes me feel very peaceful, Richard, about resting in God during this time. Well, glad. I'm glad for that, Steph, that it's helping you have peace at this time to hear that poem. All right. Well, those are some of the messages. There's scores of messages coming in at both my email and Facebook in reaction to the poem and the message today. I don't have time to read them all, or we wouldn't get to go to any of our live callers. So I want to go to one of my favorite people on earth, who's like a spiritual mother to us in Eternal Grace, and she plays Rebecca Holden's spiritual mother in our film Canaan Land. She was the hula hoop queen, doing the hula hoop on the front cover of magazines. She's lived an amazing life. Her late husband was one of the greatest magicians of all time, Channing Pollock, and they performed together, Josie and her husband, on the Ed Sullivan Show. They toured with Liberace, opened for Liberace. She's had quite a life, and her memoirs are available. I think I write a foreword for her book, also her memoirs. I have it somewhere here. I was trying to remember the title. Oh, Backstage, I'm remembering. Backstage Pass to Heaven, Josie Pollock's memoirs are now out on Amazon, as is my new book, Canaan Land, my new novel. So a lot of us are putting out new books now. Anyways, we're going to line one to Josie Pollock. How are you, Josie?
Thanks for the plug on the book, Richard.
Well, you know, I tell you, I think I'm one of your best PR people and agents, Josie.
Yes, you are.
I was just telling somebody the other night about it, too.
Well, keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. You know, we're on the same page in so many areas, which is not with a lot of our Christian friends.
Yes.
But, you know, didn't God say to come out of the world and be set apart? And weren't we warned against rebellion? So who's rebelling right now? The Christian church doesn't want to obey the rules, doesn't want to obey the law.
That's a really good point.
A lot of it's got to do with money. And I know it says that we should fellowship with each other, but we are the church. You and I are the church as we gather here right now.
Yeah.
And it's really, really bothering me. And those videos that are out that people keep sending me, and I keep writing books, I don't watch right-wing propaganda conspiracy videos. So one person said, it's the demons in you that won't let you watch it. So could you send an exorcist over here to get rid of those demons?
Wow. Well, you know, another thing that's interesting, Josie, when you mentioned people not following the rules, some of the Christian ministries are now identified as some of the biggest super spreaders of the virus, because the ministry that did the fake gold dust stunt, they're going up and down the beach coastline.
And they sent a picture on Facebook, and I wrote underneath, well, it's great you're getting these people saved before they die.
Yeah, I don't think they caught your... I think it went right over their heads, Josie.
I know, my sarcasm. But I don't know if you saw that picture where that little kid that was in a movie said, I see dead people. And they showed a picture of the beach in the background with all these crowds. I mean, what is wrong with these people? They still think it's fake. Thousands are dying daily, and they still think it's fake.
Yes. My drummer and my band, my core band that played on most of my recordings I've made, the songs I wrote, was the two core people, was my brother Pete, played with me, and he would play bass and a second guitar, and a drummer named Mike Hobler played on about 70% of my recordings. Pete is unfortunately gone from a overdose, my brother. But Mike died a couple months back from COVID, and Mike was younger than I was. Mike was only in his 40s.
Yeah, it's horrendous what's going on. People like the man that attacked you for wearing a mask.
Yes, yes. We were coming out of Menchie's, and he started swearing at me because I had a mask, and you can't even go in and get your yogurt ice cream without a mask. And I came out, and, you know, my primal side wanted to fight the guy because he was challenging me and threatening me and all this stuff. He was total nutball, conspiracy theorist nutball. But then I remembered in California, if they don't throw a punch at you, you know, they're not threatening you, the law is...
Yeah, you go to jail.
Exactly. And also, of course, Christ says turn the other cheek, but also the law here is called you have a duty to retreat. So I spoke kindly to him and walked away. But Karis threw a parting shot and said, how dare you speak disrespectfully to my father.
Listen, I want to give a shout out to Jerry and Anne in New York because
Josie. Oh my God, they like you. Anne and Jerry have told me they really like you.
I know you told me that they're fans of mine, so I just wanted to shout out to them, and also to Daniel and Andrew. They sent me the most beautiful card.
Aww.
And Mickey Mouse telling me I was good looking.
Oh wow! Well, if Mickey thinks you're hot, that's the bomb.
Thank you, Mickey and Danielle.
Yes, and for those of you listening, may remember Andrew has been one of our worship leaders here in our ministry on guitar, and he's been a guest on the show. And him and Danielle are faithful callers. In fact, they'll probably end up calling in today. I wouldn't be surprised. But Andrew also sent a really sweet card here. About and it was kind of funny, and it said thank me for dealing with all the nutty Christians and trying to straighten everything out, and then he had the skunk from Bambi on there, and it was pretty funny, and it said at least you got Josh there who's not a nutty Christian, who's more solid. But we love you, Josie. I hope you can hang on.
I will.
Okay, I haven't heard your friend call in from West L.A. in a while, your British friend.
I did tell Josephine you were going to be on, but...
Okay.
I'm not there.
Okay, well, hang on. We'll put you on mute as we answer a few more calls here.
Okay.
So thanks, Josie. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think that this 818-FIRST-3 is 795. I don't know if that's Andrew and Danielle. It may be. As 818-795. Who's that?
Hey, Richard.
This is Andrew. Did you hear us talking about you just now?
Yeah, I did. Taking off speaker, I was right in the middle of washing dishes and listening to you and Josie.
Oh, should we come back to you?
Oh, no. Let's finish this up right now because, you know, I can concentrate. But, Josie, I just want to say hi to you, and I'm glad you like the Mickey. And, Richard, wouldn't you agree that Josie was the hottest hula hooper when she was doing that in her day?
Well, I tell you, you know, every big star of that era that ever comes up, be it David Cassidy or Engelbert Humperdinck or whoever, Josie will say, yes, I dated him.
Yeah,
joke with Josie is whenever I bring someone up, I said, I know, Josie, you dated him.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's funny, but I would say that's so true because you know how it was back then. Everybody was hitting on everybody. And in those days, the guys were really handsome. The women were beautiful. Wouldn't you agree on that? So what do you think would happen, you know?
Well, Josie was always, even before she accepted the Lord, she was a person of ethics and morals. So, She turned down a lot of those big male ego guys that weren't used to getting turned down, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'll never forget when she talked to me about that. You remember Tom Jones,
yeah.
A great, great singer. And
oh,
she
fantastic.
Said that she, oh, yeah, he was incredible. And he actually gave Elvis Presley some advice before Elvis was going to start to appear in Las Vegas because Tom Jones was already appearing
in Las Vegas. Yeah, he and Elvis were good friends, Andrew.
Vegas.
He was one of the few people that was able to kind of be a friend to Elvis through everything.
Yeah, he kind of gave him tips on what to do, you know, which is really funny because he's talking to the to the main guy of rock and roll that started rock and roll, you know, Elvis Presley. And then, and now he's given him tips. But I'll never forget the story of Josie telling me that Tom Jones hit on her, and she just told him to kind of take up a walk. It wasn't going to work. You know? So I thought that was pretty funny. And then I saw this clip not too long ago, Tom Jones with a rock and roller back in the 60s, and they're both dancing, you know, and I thought, wow, he you know, these people met all kinds of different celebrities, as you know, then, because they were all interacting, and then they put the famous to famous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also when Elvis was quite depressed about Priscilla leaving, you know, Tom Jones was quite kind and able to kind of be a friend to him during that time.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of history there. But I agree with everybody that has come online, and I know you only have so many seconds or minutes here, but your poem was wonderful. And
thank
you know
you,
when you were – oh, you're welcome. When you were quoting the poem on radio just a while ago, you reminded me of the books that Dr. Seuss wrote, you know, Cat in the Hat, and all the other famous books that he wrote.
Well, by the way, I share the same birthday with Dr. Seuss, Andrew. We're both born on March 2nd. I had to interrupt you and tell you that. In fact, yes, I used to go around for a charity from the Screen Actors Guild from our union, and they used to send me to all the public elementary schools to read to the children as a different character. And it was something I did as a volunteer. But make a long story short, for Dr. Seuss' birthday, they sent me to all these schools, and I was dressed up as the Cat in the Hat. And I had the same birthday, so it was on my birthday. And I didn't tell my son, Josh, that I was going to be at his school. And so the Cat in the Hat shows up, and I see Josh, and he's all excited. He's probably maybe 9, and he has a little girlfriend there that was a friend of Josh and Kareth's. Her name was Erica. And so he's sitting in the front with Erica all excited, and the Cat in the Hat comes up reading. And then Erica elbows him, "That's your dad!" But anyways, I'm glad you liked the poem, Andrew. It really flow from the spirit as I wrote it.
Yeah, that must have been a thrill for your kids for you to come disguised as Cat in the Hat, you know. I also remember he did the book Green Eggs and Ham. But what a lot of people don't know, but a lot of people do know, is that his stories were intertwined with facing off politicians and politics, because in the children's story, he was trying to really tell the people in our nation and other nations of how we're to really live life, and so he put it in a child book form. You know, that those points have really been brought out by a lot of famous artists and poets of what Dr. Seuss actually his underlining truth of what he was bringing out. And so you actually did that in the poem. I saw you did that with the poem. And then
coming from one of the great Disney animators like you, I really take that as a great compliment, because you know
it's a big compliment.
Better than anyone.
Yeah, yeah. And you know my history and background to be able to see something like that. And so, and Walt Disney, as you remember too, he was a great storyteller. Story was number one, because if you didn't have a good story, you didn't have anything. And Walt Disney could really pull on the heartstrings of people's hearts, and he had a beautiful ending. It was always a battle between good and evil, and at the end you'd see Snow White. You know, the prince comes and she's in that glass coffin, and the dwarves take it out and he kisses her, and then she's revived from death
to life. He kisses Snow White back to life after her dark night. Yeah, and that's what Jesus does for us, doesn't he? He raises us up from the dead. And he's going to kiss this world, and we're going to have this thing pass. And I'll come back to you, Andrew. We got the lines lighting up to get back to – we'll come back to you, Andrew. I'm going to go to a few other callers also here. So hold on with us, Andrew. We'll come back. Some others are ringing. Come to me. So we'll spread it around and come back to you. Let me see. Next line is 818-741. Is that Andrea?
Yeah, it is.
Hi, Andrea. I'm starting to remember numbers a little bit better. So, Andrea, thank you for calling in today.
You're welcome. And thank you for that beautiful poem. It was really well written, and I hope it reaches the world, that other people will hear your poem and get touched. I have some scriptures. They're not a lot. But the Lord led me to the scripture about a week ago, and when I saw it, it was just by accident, and I guess it was like a divine accident, if that's an oxymoron, but it's really, really good, and it just touched me. I thought, wow, it sounds like for today, you know, for today's time. And it's in Isaiah, the first line I'll read, it's Isaiah 33:6, and it says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. And when I read that, I just felt this, like, joy leap up inside of me. It was just like, wow, that was really cool. And then the other one, just to give people, like, encouragement and hope, and this is not just, like, in the times we're living, but this is all times, I mean, all our lives. But it's in 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, and I just love it. It's just really, it's something you said today that kind of, like, this, it kind of goes along with what you were saying today. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. And I just, those scriptures just, like, made my Sunday today. They just really helped me to stay strong, and I hope it'll encourage other people out there, too, to just stay strong in the midst of what we're going through, that God's in charge and he knows what's going on and he's with us. His word says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And I just saw someone of Danielle's, hi Danielle, if you're listening, one of her favorite scriptures is in Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So I guess my prayer is that we will just acknowledge God in our work, our relationships, our lives, whatever we're going through, just acknowledge him and know that he is faithful and he will direct our path. And in Romans 8:28, he says, all things work together for good. And he's going to work all these things that you were talking about today in Revelation, all those things in our lives, he's going to work for good because God loves us. So that's my little mini speech today, I guess. So.
Wow. Well, great, Andrew. That's really encouraging. Thank you. And Hebrews says, that, as Andrea quoted, I will never leave you or forsake you. And my mother told me you don't ever use a double negative, but the Greek there actually does use a double negative, the literal Greek in that Hebrews 13 verse. It says, I will never leave you. No, not never. Maybe it's more of a triple negative. That's the actual Greek. I will never leave you. No, not never. But it's because God really wants us to know that whatever is going on, nothing can ever separate you from the Lord. John 10 says that you're in his hand, and no one can ever pluck you out of his hand. Romans 8 says nothing can separate you from the love of God, neither life or death, or angels, or demons, or principalities, or powers. There's nothing that can ever, ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you, I love you, and God loves you unconditionally. Nothing you could ever do or say. You know, David said in Psalm 139, if I ascend to the highest mountain, thou art there. If I go to the depths of hell, thou art there. They lied to me in Bible school. They said, hell, people are separated from God. No, David said, even if I made my bed in hell, thou art there. God is omnipresent everywhere. And maybe you felt like you've been through hell lately, or you've been stressed by everything going on. Well, it can't separate you. It can't separate you from the love of God. He is your hiding place. Let's do a little more worship, and we'll come right back to our remaining callers.
I will.
Don't worry, my dear friends. Don't worry. Trust in Him. And trust that this too shall pass. This will be over soon, and there will be a new earth from the things that we've learned. Now, we're going back to the phone lines. 818-795-27. I won't give the phone number. 818-795-27. Hello?
Hi, Richard.
Is this Danielle?
Yes, hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you and Sherry doing?
Well, we're above ground, and every day above ground is another day to praise the Lord, right?
Amen to that. I love that song, You're My Hiding Place. It's,
yeah.
I haven't heard that song in so long, and when you play it at your meetings, it just gives me peace. I wish churches would play it more often.
Yeah,
really
well, I always like to do the ones that minister to people, and that's one you can just feel the peace, as well as the one I wrote based on your favorite verse. I've noticed when I do that one, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God, the peace of the Holy Spirit just blankets the place when I do that one, too.
Right. Everything does. Your poem was beautiful. It touched me. I was like, wow, I have to share this. And there was a lot of truth to your poem, too. You know,
we've
been in this for the last 5 months, and we don't know when it's going to end, and only God knows, and we have to hang in there just a little bit longer until God says otherwise. But it gives me hope to know that this will not go on forever. This will end soon. And I'm glad you and Josie got your cards. I was blessed by God to, you know, send cards to everybody at my church. That was a big thing. And then now I'm doing immediate family and friends, such as you and Josie, and if Steph Close is listening, and Andrea, theirs will be coming soon. So I'm not done. I still have a lot more cards to do. But in this time, this is what we're supposed to be doing, is reaching out to people. And that's what I got from your poem, is reaching out to people. And we're supposed to reach out and say, hey, I love you. I care about you. We're not meeting together, but we're still thinking of you. And that was my point.
You're so kind
of sending
you
guys.
Like you're very good at that, Danielle, the way you write encouraging notes like that.
Yeah, and if you saw on my page this morning, Andrew and I have also been sending kids their birthday cards, and I've been putting little gift cards in there for them of their choice, Starbucks, McDonald's, whatever, and Andrew draws cartoons.
And that means a lot to people, Danielle, because I've seen kids on Facebook, Instagram, different social media, and Andrew hasn't even seen it all, but I'll see them write. I was at the Coral Cafe in Burbank, and I met one of the great Disney artists, and he drew a picture on my placemat for me, and he was really nice, and his name was Andrew, and Andrew probably doesn't even see all that, but it's a real kindness, and it's an example how art is a ministry, and ministry is an art, because when he does those drawings for me, he just did one for my mom. My mom loved it.
Yes, I know. Yeah, your mom was, and I told Andrew, I said, it's not all about, you know, receiving money for them or anything. It's just about giving from the heart, because times are tough on everybody. I mean, I'm doing the AIDS walk next month, and I know it's hard. I may not get a lot of donations, but I'm okay with that, because I would rather bless others than receive. And I've gotten a lot of thank you notes for people sent for me, that we sent them cards, or they'll send me a message on Facebook, and that's fine, you know. And I'm just blessed, you know. But your poem really touched people, and I hope it'll continue to touch people, you know. So I'm hoping with me,
that's my prayer too. I'm praying that instead of people seeing it as God's backhanding us and judging the world and doom and gloom, I want them to see that God is shaking our hand and lifting us up out of this, and it's going to end soon. Because in the Bible it said that Isaac prospered in the famine and the pestilence, and that there's things that we can grow and learn through this time. And in fact, let's pray for blessing out there on our audience. Why don't you start us, Danielle, and let's just pray for everybody listening, and then we can go back through the other callers, your husband and Josie and Andrea, and just one after another, just pray for all of our listeners that they be blessed today.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today, and I thank you for this beautiful sunny Sunday day, and I just thank you for everyone who's listening and those that aren't, can find a way to listen. This is right now with this pandemic thing. We don't know when it's going to end, but God knows. But right now we need to learn to be still and do our work that you've asked us to do, whether that means to write somebody a letter, pray for the person, send them a card, whatever. Is just to finish the work that you called us to do.
Amen. Amen. We just got an answered prayer report, Danielle, and everyone else. There's a woman in Finland said that thank you for your powerful prayers at Eternal Grace here. She'd asked us to pray. She had to go in for Corona. Got a message. She was sick the last few weeks. Her body failed Wednesday, and she's been at the hospital. And her name is Elisa. And the way I know her is she was a fan of my brother Pete's band and guitar playing. And after Pete died, she contacted us that she was a big fan of Pete's. But she said she just got back Corona test results back from, and she said, no Corona. Amen. No Corona. Praise the Lord. That could be a song like My Sharona, No Corona. So thank you, Elisa, for the good report. It's in the Bible. There were 10 lepers who were prayed for healing, and only one came back and told Jesus, hey, I was healed of that, you know. So that's great. All right, so thank you for praying, Danielle. Andrew Ramos, I think, is still with us. Let's go over to that line. Andrew, are you still there? Could you pray also?
Sure, Rich. Lord, I just thank you for Richard Rossi and his radio broadcasts and all the gifts and talents that he brings to the hearing audience, Lord God, and especially for this poem that he brought today, this Sunday. And I just pray, Lord, that poem will just bless the hearts and minds of every individual, man, woman, or child, whoever listens to this broadcast will touch their hearts, just like Dr. Seuss and Cat in the Hat will touch children's hearts, Lord. We're all children in your sight, Lord God. So I pray that poem will touch their hearts and just bless Richard and Sherry and their marriage, their lives, their ministry.
Oh, are you still there, Andrew? Hello?
It's unmuted. Then unmute it.
Okay. All right. Hi, Andrew. I'm sorry. I think we just lost a signal for just a moment. I apologize about that. We had a problem the last church service, and we've been doing good today. I think we're doing good. We just had a glitch for a second. Yes, Andrew. Okay. Thank you, Andrew, for praying. Can you still hear me, Andrew?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
Okay. Andrew, would you pray also for anyone out there? We just had a healing come in for someone with COVID. Would you pray for anyone out there that is suffering or sick or afraid as well?
Okay, I'll go ahead and do that. Heavenly Father, we just come to you again in Jesus' name, and we just pray in that name that the Holy Spirit that has no distance or boundaries can reach any person in the world. And I pray for that Holy Spirit to heal anybody that is suffering from this COVID-19 or any other plague or disease that they're going through right now. Pray healing in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, touch their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I pray they completely renew, restore, make ever new, and make them every whit whole. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying for that, Andrew. And Josie, are you still with us? Are you able to pray for our audience?
Of course, yes. Father God, we just come before you right now, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you've already done for us. a lot of people don't know that you've intervened when they've been in danger. I know it from a personal level. Mm-hmm. But, Lord, right now there's so many people going through depression and people that are suicidal and people that are so tormented by what is going on right now. And I just ask, Lord, for your mercy, your grace upon them. I pray for the people that are in the fire areas, Lord, that have had to evacuate. I pray for the people in Lebanon that have lost their homes and their health from those bombs that went off, Lord, with all that storage of that manufacturing bomb material. And I just ask you, Lord, to just have mercy on everybody and just protect your children. Put a hedge of protection around them. And Lord, give those that are hopeless hope. Give those that are unlovable love. And just, Lord, bring more faith and take away the fear that people are going through. And we just ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josie. And thank you for the shout out to our friends in New York. And Andrea, why don't you close us out in prayer? Andrea Mejia on line one.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, I want to just thank you that we did pray last week or 2 weeks ago. We prayed for the because we're having technical problems and it worked today. So we thank you for that. Lord, I just, what was on my heart, and that prayers have just been beautiful from all everyone that's prayed so far, have been beautiful prayers. And so, Lord, I just pray that that you would help people that have been furloughed and have lost their jobs to the COVID-19, Lord, that you would open up doors of opportunity that no man can shut. And, Lord, that they would find gainfully employment at this time, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you supply their every need, Lord God. And I just go along with Josie, Lord God. There's a lot of things that are happening because people are having to work out of their home. My neighbors are working out of their house, and they work for the entertainment industry, but they're working out of their house. And so, Lord, we just pray your peace, your perfect peace that passes all understanding would be our portion, Lord God, and that we would go in not our own strength this week, but, God, we would go in your strength. And, Lord God, that you continue to clothe us with the whole armor of God. And, Lord, help us to be a light, like what Richard was saying in his poem. Lord, help us to be a light in this world, Lord God, whether we say anything or we're quiet. So, Lord, bless us. We pray that this week will be a great week. And we just pray that we just invite your Holy Spirit presence into all the things that we do, the things that we say. And I do pray for Karis and her husband, Lord, that you bless them. Thank you for that they were able to get married, and what a beautiful wedding. So, Lord, bless them and bless Richard and Sherry and Josh.
Thank you, Lord. You are our hiding place. Tuning in today to Richard Rossi Live, and we'll be continuing this Revelation series, The New Earth. We got probably a little bit more in chapter 21 and then 22, so probably just two more sessions and we'll be through the book of Revelation. If you want to go back to any of our past Revelation series, it's easy to go through chapter 1 and go all the way through Revelation with us. Just go to eternalgracechurch.com, and that's our website. Oh, and you can also donate there if you want to support our ministry. If you're spiritually fed, we appreciate the support. And then there's a bunch of links on that site. So just click Revelation Series and then scroll down, and it'll start, chapter 1 and chapter 2, and it'll be links all the way up to catch up to where we are in chapter 21. And it'll be a much more hopeful, optimistic view of Revelation that won't be like the doomsday date setters you hear in the news. And I think it'll encourage you if you want to look at it in a different way. And this message will be added there at the bottom for pretty shortly. God bless you all. We love you. And thank you for tuning in. Go with God and be blessed. And remember, God loves you unconditionally. So do I. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans chapter 8.